making having the time to do these slow conversations with people, and it's like the world's slowest ping pong ball. Just, hey, how was your day? The next day. Oh, sorry, didn't get your message. Like, I can't. I cannot stay in that conversation. It is so not funny. Engaging to me. It is not interesting. Like,
no.
And then they all do that. And then,
all aboard, next stop, adventure. This is Excelsior. She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany.
Hi, Laura. So I'm doing a backwards episode today. It's a little where you talk to yourself.
Inner monologue,
maybe. Well, that's like inside, but like if you have an outer monologue.
Inside your head.
Well, I'm gonna bring inside my head outside my head today.
Your inner thoughts. We're going to hear some of your inner thoughts this time. I've done this before.
Well, welcome, Laura. So, okay, this episode is a little bit different. So usually I have podcast guests. I am interviewing artists and entrepreneurs. And today I am going to be interviewing Laura Crowe. Hi, Laura.
Hi, everybody.
But Laura, what do you, tell me what you're, what's the funny part about you?
Funny part about me. Well, I guess a little backstory. Obviously nobody knows me. People know you because you've been doing your Excelsior podcast for how long now?
It's 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
All right. And you've probably met a lot of interesting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brittany and I actually met at the event company that we worked at, and that we had a background in running and working events around the Twin Cities. And I do real estate full time, and so that's kind of always been my side hustle. Like, you have that as your side hustle to your photography and your podcast and all the things. And so anyway, we were working this slow event, and we just got to talking about this crazy idea that I had, and one thing led to another, and next thing you know, we decided we're starting a company.
Yeah, and that company is called Stassi.
Yeah, so it kind of started as like I always wanted to try speed dating, and I thought I should set up my own events, and so we got going with doing speed dating events and single mixers in the Twin Cities, and that's been a lot of fun to get that running and see how things are taking off. But we're also wanting to expand, and we realized the potential in what else we could offer to the community. I mean, after COVID, so many people were isolated, and I've had so many people tell me that they struggle to have like basic social conversations now, and so they're looking to get back out, and especially people even in the, not only the dating world with people being sick of the apps, but people who just want to get out and meet new people, get out of the house, you know, break out of their bubble and meet some new friends or networking. And so we have a wide variety of events that we are now offering in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, so it's called Stassi Dates, and so Laura and I are now business partners. So I'm interviewing myself and you. Well, first of all, what's your favorite food? This is a food-based podcast. You got to know what our favorite food is. Do we agree on something?
Is that the burning question? You know what? Someone asked me this the other day. It's like a go-to, like, dating question.
Ooh.
And I never know. I'm like, well, it depends on my mood.
Yeah.
Like, some days I want a peanut butter and pickle sandwich. Even though I'm not pregnant. Hold on.
Let's stop right there. A peanut butter and pickle sandwich?
They're delicious.
Okay, tell me more.
Any time of day.
What?
Just like you get some white bread. And peanut butter. And the best pickles are the pickle chips from Famous Dave's. They're sweet and spicy.
Oh, those are good.
They're really good.
You put those on a sandwich and you just eat them.
It's like the perfect crunch. Sweet and savory and all. It's just delicious.
You just blew my mind with that. I had no idea that was coming out.
It's traditionally like something they say pregnant people always crave is like the pickles and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I love pickles.
I grew up eating that sandwich. I don't know. Are you serious? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy. And you're not from Wisconsin because I feel like they eat some weird pickle stuff.
Sometimes I do like peanut butter banana, like pulling Elvis. I don't grill them, though.
Ooh.
But I do that.
That does sound good, though. Peanut butter and banana. But it's so, isn't that so sticky?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want a big glass of water.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to smoke before you eat the sandwich.
Oh my gosh. No. Cottonmouth. That would be the worst cottonmouth. Dang.
But I mean, favorite pizza, probably veggie is always a good go-to.
Have you ever had a pickle pineapple pizza?
No, I didn't get on not that pickle hype. It's overdone. Huh. I mean, I feel like everyone got so obsessed with the state fair pickle where everything got pickled this last year.
Oh.
And I obviously am a pickle fan, but I'm like, also, but they're always dill.
Yeah, what's the big dill?
I don't know what the big dill about dill is.
I don't think I've really had like a pizza that's all pickles. Yeah, so Laura and I work, like she said, in the event industry, and we started chatting and we decided we wanted to create a business that brings people together, that creates a community, not only in the singles, but we want to branch out and have people connecting on different levels where like moms can connect or people who are just looking for friends, like new implants and they need to find their friend group, which there's a lot of it here because Minnesota is known for just being very, what is the word? Passive aggressive. But also
like
just
they're nice
close
to your
groups.
Face. I think they want to be polite, but then
they don't want to actually hang out with you.
It can be tough for newcomers, I've heard, that are from out of state because everyone has their core friends. I mean,
yeah,
Minnesota people, I think, have this sense of community about them and closeness with the people that they're close with.
Yeah.
But branching out of that or expanding that or getting, you know, if you got shipped from a different state and all of a sudden you're sitting here and you don't know anyone, it's hard to break into because everyone has like their core friends. And
yeah,
someone was telling me that was from Texas, I think, and they were saying like, I've been here like 2 years and it's like, yeah, I meet people, they're nice, it's great, but then like things fade away. It's hard to stay in touch with them
unless
they have like a crazy bond where you're just like, oh my god, we're like connected, like soulmate friends, where you're just like, I feel like I've known you my whole life. Unless there's that strong pull, people kind of already have their core people.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, started thinking about it and I'm like, okay, I do have a core group of friends that I've been friends with a long time. I mean, my closest friends go back to third grade, fourth grade.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of them that are all, you know, and then the other ones are still like, 10, 15 plus years.
Is that crazy?
We're lifers. You can't get rid of us.
Yeah.
Once you're in the group.
And I hear that so often. And I grew up here, but I don't really feel like I have a core group. I've never really developed that. But I've also, So it's interesting to hear people say the same thing over and over and how it is hard to break through with that. And I really think that building community is really important for anyone to grow, to have that support system where they live, to have overall like an open relationship with their neighbors, being able to feel safe, to know who you can rely on, to get people help when they need it, you know. And it goes back to the beginning of building community.
Well, I think it just helps bring people together and make them feel connected as well. I mean, over something where you share common interests or have common backstory, things that tie to you that are kind of at your core, whether it's serious things like, you know, being a mom or being an entrepreneur or whatever it may be, and finding other people in the community who are in similar situations that you can relate to or kind of, you know, vent to, you know, open up with, get help, advice from, and kind of people you can confide in, that you can relate to that can help you in your own life. Because, I mean, we're all just trying to get through life and it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got someone who is in a similar situation, or, you know, even just light things like dog lovers, wine lovers, you know, it's just something mm-hmm. we can create this now and bring people together for whatever reasons and, you know, help them have that sense of community and closeness and just, it's all about connecting.
Yeah. And starting this has been a journey. In the beginning, having our first events and seeing how they're going, because we are still in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple months. We've been getting this going, and we've been trying to get the word out. And there's so much to running a business. I mean, it's got a lot of facets to it, and a lot of different things you need to think about. And I mean, it's a full time job. And when we're starting this on the side as our side thing, hoping it'll eventually be our main thing, or at least half of our main things, because I know we are passionate about the real estate that I do and photography that you do, and that's something that we want to stick with and mm-hmm. and that we enjoy doing. But I think it's all connected. Like I said, it's all about connection, and that's what both of those fields are. And with this business we're creating, is it's just life is about relationships.
Yeah.
And having those ties and figuring out how we can make, you know, I think people think they can't make an impact on the world because they're like, well, there's so many issues out there. Like, what difference can I make?
Yeah.
But you got to start small within your own community, and you form that little nugget of whatever you want to call it.
That's true. And then you can make a difference.
And slowly together within a community, it can make a difference. And you know, that it's a small portion of the world, but it can still, you know, change your world that you're living in.
I should pull up some stats, because I really think that people who, like, who have human connection and touch and can have that relationship with other people, they tend to have, they live longer, they have, like, better immune systems, they tend to just have all these other really positive lives. And I think that it's like, I think that we have put that aside, especially with COVID, the value of that. And
oh, you live longer if you laugh more.
Yeah,
there's, it's directly linked.
Can't laugh alone.
And the mortality rates of men if they don't have a partner,
yeah,
exactly. It keeps them alive much longer because they've got someone taking care of them and helping them out, and just you know, someone to share the burden. I mean, life is about, you know, you're carrying your load, and sometimes you're tired and you need someone else to take it off your shoulders for a little bit, and being able to work together to do that is a big part of what makes a relationship successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I love what we're doing, and I think that a lot of people we talk to about this has a really positive input on it, and they think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been super excited so far and been thanking us, and they just seem, I mean, I've been so grateful for the people who are, you know, coming to our events, because without them it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And but they're so open to it and excited about it that it gets me extra excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we were already excited, but to hear other people just being like, thank you for doing this, and I'm so glad you guys are doing this now, it's been fun, and
it's so rewarding.
It is.
It really is. I know those are the people, thinking about the people that leave our events happy. And, you know, because we do speed dating, and a lot of the people, because you're not going to guarantee find your person when you start out. But so the people that don't get connections will tell me how much fun they had. And how that they, you know, they didn't find a connection with anybody, but they made some friends and they had a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone's been so nice that comes. And I think what's interesting about it is, like, you know, it's hard. Like, for me, I know being single again and having a lot of my friends now, I'm in my 30s. I just turned 34. And a lot of my friends have families already, and they're busy with kids and school and sports and all of the things in life, and it's hard to stay connected with them. And, you know, for them, getting together now rather than going out and doing different fun activities or events, for a lot of them, it's just, hey, you want to come over and watch a movie?
Yeah.
Let's make family dinner. Like, and that's great. That's fun. But I'm not going to meet new people or meet my significant other in their basement. We're watching a, Disney Plus movie with their kids.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I love it.
It's good to see them, but that's not where you're.
And,
yeah,
and it's just and getting them out of the house is hard because they can't get a sitter and stuff.
Yeah,
so, it's important for people to prioritize that. But it's, I mean, for me, it's nice to get back out there. And when I'm going out on my own, it's. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you approach a group of people there with their own friends and? I'm the weirdo coming up to them saying, like, hey, nice to meet you. Like, I'm just butting in here. It's more intimidating. But with speed dating or some of our other social events we do is people are all coming for one reason or another, but it's a common type of reason where they're all looking for something.
Yeah.
And it kind of levels everyone out as we're all here for a similar type of reason and we're open and giving this a shot. And I think there's a big stigma with speed dating. Like, I think they're... in the past has been like a real negative connotation, but I mean, we're not really like most speed dating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of people kind of think of it as this tacky, like big, formal, obnoxious thing, but I mean, I think part of it is just like us, like we're real people and people see that we care and we want people to have connections and
we'll have fun with you.
Exactly. I mean, you've been loving having your practice table.
Yeah. And I would like to say so because I'm the married one in the group of the two of us and probably all the dating groups, I would imagine. So I'm always like not always, but most of the time I'm the practice table.
It kind of started because one thing we've noticed is that men are more receptive to speed dating than women are.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of one of the struggles with opening a new business that we've encountered for something that we've got to work on is seeing, you know, where do we find the women? And I think a lot of them don't feel comfortable coming out on their own. And they're a little nervous about it and they don't know what to expect. And guys are like, well, I got nothing else to lose. I'll give this a shot. I think doing that has been something that we've been working on trying to do. But I forgot what I was saying.
Oh yeah,
that's my train of thought. But what I was saying was that's why there was more men often than women, and so to kind of deep report offset like it. Offset that. Yeah, that you did your practice table to kind of just be the therapist friend table to say, hey, like, I'm here to talk with you. I want to get to know you as a guest at our event and hear more about you.
But really what I'm doing is I'm making sure these guys aren't creepy.
You can't tell people our, like, secret method here. Now the guys are going to be worried. You're giving it away.
I know.
So she's my wing woman on the side. She gets the inside scoop.
I know. I get the inside scoop. I also get people putting good words.
So they act more... themselves. Well, I think a lot of people, you know, you meet someone and they put on a face, right? They want to have a... But I hate when people do that. I mean, that was a big problem with my last relationship is they put on a face when I met them. And I don't want to know a fake face.
No.
I want to know who that person is. And eventually you find out who that person is.
Yeah.
And if it's not who you portray in the beginning, then that you're creating a problem.
A lot of people do that.
What's weird.
Write this down as a topic.
Yeah.
Because we need to get into that deep dive of this.
Well, because
unveil yourself.
Because you want someone to love you for you. I mean, how horrible would it be to be like you fall in love with somebody because they were their authentic self, but they never really got to know the real you, and then you're going to set yourself up to get hurt because maybe that person didn't love you for you when they find out who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's different.
Yeah.
Not everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay, but people should just own it.
A lot of men do that, don't they? I feel like, well, maybe women, I don't know.
I think, I mean, I'm sure both probably do.
Why is that? Yeah, I see that a lot. When I was in the dating world, I've seen that a lot. Like, you think you're dating someone, they talk it up, and they act this way, and then you realize that they're not that person.
Well, I think people fear rejection, and so they want to be who they think they should be or who they wish they were, you know?
Yeah.
They want to come off in a good way, but I think you just should always shoot to try and be your best self.
Yeah.
And uphold that if that's who you want to be. But if you're not and you're comfortable being, you know, just own it. You know
right.
What I mean? Like, whatever it is, like, be yourself and then...
Being your true self. Yeah, that can be hard for some people because they don't know even who they really are.
That's true. I've been many different people in my life.
Right. Well, I mean, you can be different people and your personality can change and your, like, you know, your goals can change and your morals can change, but you should always, like, there's always something about understanding who you are. And I think that...
And being okay with who you
be
are.
Be okay, yeah. And I think that's that if you're... A lot of people are trying to find somebody to fill the gap for them. And I think that that's a really big issue. I think that it's... I don't think it's possible for you to find true love when you're not completely understanding and okay with yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't love someone else if you don't love yourself first.
Right.
Because you need to have yourself be whole in order to help, you know, someone else along and be there for someone else. If you can't be there for yourself, you're not taking care of yourself. It's the same way. That's a big problem that moms talk about is, like, they're not whole, you know, they get run down and depleted, and they'll still just do everything in their power to take care of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember to take care of yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, because that's hard to do. And then that's how you mess a kid up.
That's a whole nother thing. No.
I'm excited about the new project. So again, I still do photography, but I'm excited about doing this speed dating. And I also know that we're going to have fun starting our own Stassi podcast.
Yeah, I mean, why not throw that in there? We're trying to, you know, get the word out as much as we can and tell people and all the different avenues and possibilities we can do it. But I think a big part is I think people would be interested to hear more about it. I mean, especially the people out there who may be on the fence about trying it or nervous or whatever it may be. I think, like, hearing the different perspectives of what we're doing at these events and how they're going and you know, just talking about all types of stuff, like relationships and thoughts on that. Just hearing people's
a love opinions. Podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
a podcast of love. And I think too, we can open up for some suggestions if anyone has any topics they want to hear about too. We're open to that. And
definitely.
We can definitely look at that. That would be fun to, cause I hear a lot of stories after our speed dating events that, again, like people are like, oh, I have so much to say. This is great. Or maybe this is awkward or this is that. And I think it'd be fun to have those people on and share their experience of speed dating
their perspective or hear more from, you know, you've been to these events before, like what would you like to see next, you know? I want to always keep it interesting and fun so that people that are coming, it's not the same thing every time. You're not doing the same speed dating. We're at different venues around the Twin Cities. We offer different things, like the single mixers doing one that incorporates food or like we're doing one coming up for mom mimosa mixer that's going to have brunch bites and food for them to try and do like vendor shopping where there's little booths and tables set up and they can come peruse all the little products while they sip a mimosa and meet some other moms and connect and just, you know, just kind of one off. So we're kind of thinking speed dating and single mixers, kind of like one category, doing social events to bring people together for different reasons and do different activities along there too. Like maybe it's one day it's a mixer to go out bowling who's tried paintballing, whatever it may be. I mean, we're open to suggestions. So we want to kind of think of things, you know, that we've always wanted to do and to get other people in on the action and the fun. And then doing networking events, because I know it's a big part of our business is, you know, having that community of people that we can pull from, right? Like, I mean, for me as an agent, when someone moves into a house, the first thing they do is they're like, oh, I want to rip out these old floors. We got to change that. I love this house, but that's got to go. Do they have a floor guy? Like, I want to pride myself in being the person where I've got a guy. I know someone
and these are people that we know are good people. And
we're just supporting local businesses.
Yeah, and then we know that they're good and that they're reliable, that you're not just looking up some person and not knowing any background or knowing that they're a good resource. Yeah, it's good to have that, again, community and networking and bringing people together and kind of closer to what maybe a goal that someone wants, you know. So say we have a lot of lawyers, like our law students in our speed dating. Yeah. So if you need a good attorney, come to speed dating.
Yeah, well, I mean, they say that, that's what they say, you know, so something.
Is this the law of attraction?
No.
Should that just be your new name?
That could be a whole event.
Law of attraction. Find yourself a lawyer.
No, I mean, well, I think the U.S. is, they're known as being very Sue happy.
Oh.
And I learned this because I used to work on private yachts and travel the world, which is a great way to get out there and make some money. And it's super, that's a whole nother story.
I want to know more about that.
But anyway, when I was there, there was certain boats that would literally discriminate against hiring me because I was an American, because they thought that I would sue them.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a stipulation where, and on these boats, I mean, they're privately owned, so the whole HR and all the discriminatory things that they say you can't do these days, they don't really apply when it's like someone, they're these super uber rich people are kind of in their own world, that they do what they want and they can say it's for whatever reason.
Oh my gosh.
It definitely still exists.
Wow.
And like, I mean, I was I was told on one boat, I was in my prime, like thin. I was probably like a size 4 at the time.
Oh my gosh.
And I was told that the owners wanted people to work on the boat that looked like Barbie dolls, and that I was expected to lose weight if I was hired and to uphold a certain look.
What?
Yeah. And then, when they found out that I was American, they said, get her off my boat. I had the job. They're like, you're going to be perfect. I didn't think it was going to be a good fit. Wasn't feeling like mutual in how the interview process was going, but... And then they got off the phone and they're like, nope, never mind.
She's American.
Because I was American.
Oh my gosh.
So that's why all these lawyers have jobs.
Oh what, my gosh, that's so true. That's wild. That's a crazy story. That's interesting.
You know, I'm just like picturing. They thought I was like looking for a puddle on the deck to slip in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Is that crazy? And, you know, I talked to, I had on, my last guest was comedian Tanya Lee Davis, and she's a comedian who is a little person or a dwarf. She's 3 foot tall, and she's been around for a while. She's not only funny, but she's informative. And she was telling me that, you know, she needs a scooter because of her height, and it's harder for her to get around. But nowadays, people just get scooters to like get handicapped spots, to get like discounts, to get onto the plane. She'll go into an airplane and people have scooters, like everyone's lined up with scooters, and she'll have to wait and wait, and then they'll just walk off like, oh, what happened to your wheelchair? All of a sudden you got to your destination, now you can walk. Isn't that crazy? Like, just so many people are abusing like stuff like that, and I think it's so terrible.
That's how me and Brittley met, was our events that we were doing and
wearing the penguin suit.
And you get hot. I mean, it's a lot of work, like setting up and coordinating an event. And people don't realize because they just come and everything looks set up. And it's like, but doing all that and coordinating all that and all the planning and organization and skills you need to have.
Yeah.
I mean, the time it takes to do intricate napkin folds for cups, you know. Like,
oh, my gosh, so much
it's
time.
All the details. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I spend all that time prepping the event, and then you have to go right in from that to now working the event, serving and making drinks, that's when I'm like, I'm a sweaty mess. I would not want to take a drink from me.
Right? Oh my gosh. Like
sweaty Betty.
Sweaty Betty.
Who's Betty?
You, when you're sweaty. Right off the bat, our first event. So it's pretty cool to like plan and plan and plan, and then all of a sudden you have your first event, which I remember at Blarney's, at Blarney Pub, and we had a bunch of guys so uncomfortably sitting at the bar.
Because they were the first ones to show up.
They were the first to show up, and they didn't even talk.
They didn't talk to each other.
Yeah. They just sat there staring at us, waiting for direction. And we just thought, you know, just go have a drink. Like, I didn't know I had to, like, corral. But people like structure. I'm learning that. Like, you give someone structure and it's, you know. But at this point, the women were all stuck in traffic. Like, we had some women coming, maybe very close. It was almost even, but they were all stuck in traffic, so it started to look really bad. We're like, oh my gosh, we have all these men sitting at the bar and the women aren't showing up, and they're so uncomfortable, and I think they were all nervous that the women weren't showing up and stuff.
When I think part of it too is so there's different things I like about different venues. Some of them, it's you're right in with the mix of the bulk of the venue. Mm-hmm. And at Leaning Tower, you're right there in the restaurant and everyone's yep. together, and there's other patrons at the bar, and you know, it can feel like the vibe's a lot better when it's a full immersive atmosphere experience.
Oh, yeah.
But with Blarney's, it's a separated space.
Mm-hmm.
And having a separate area, I mean, it's nice because you get the privacy. Mm-hmm. And it's our whole own area. But then when people are first starting to show up, it's the vibe is odd. It's quiet, you know? And with some of our first events, you know, some of them have been more intimate groups.
Yeah.
Which has been, you know, still really fun. It's been mm-hmm. great. But just at the beginning, there's always kind of that little awkward nervousness or
yeah.
something, you know,
yeah.
When they get there.
Yeah. I know some guys are shaking like I do when I'm about to give a speech. It's whoa. And I'm okay, take a breath.
Yeah,
we're all in good hands here. It's kind of sweet.
It is. And I think we're creating a space where some people do feel comfortable stepping out of their normal environment,
yeah.
and it is nerve-wracking for some people.
Yeah, because it's you're putting yourself out there, and that can be really, it is very intimidating. Not everybody is the same the people who are outgoing and outspoken tend to have an easier time meeting people.
But that's why we're there, and I think we're both really approachable, just mm-hmm. real people, and you know, that's something in life I've always had is friends and people I didn't even know that well. They come up to me and they just say I'm so easy to talk to, and I'm very approachable.
Yeah.
And it's I'm kind of weird, when you get to know me, I don't shut up, but at the beginning people always say I do have the resting bitch face. And I'm shy at first.
Yeah.
I can be friendly and stuff, but opening up and showing the real me, that's always an internal battle that I have.
Yeah.
And when you're in with a new group, it can be hard, but I think that's why it's good we're there, because mm-hmm. we're very welcoming and,
yeah,
you know, just excited to meet all the people.
Yeah.
I mean, even you're married, but you're who's coming tonight?
I can't wait to see. Oh, I know. I love it. I love it.
Can't wait to make new friends and...
It brings me to John, and I don't know if it's interesting too, because I think I was going to say this before, but so with the speed dating and stuff, and it's there's this guy we met named John. He's not a part of the speed dating, but we've met him at meetup groups multiple times, and he is in his 80s, and he's this cute little old man. His wife has passed away. Yeah, he's so sweet. He loves to be social. But I was talking to him, and he was blown away by the fact that I go out without my husband. because he always had his wife.
And they went everywhere together.
Everywhere together. They never did anything, which that's sweet and adorable. But, you know, it's 2024, and... realistically,
it's good
not,
to have your own.
Yeah, that's not
separate.
A happy place. I think that I think that a lot of people who are in marriages and who are in long-term beautiful marriages tend to hang out with each other all the time, and that's another thing we branch off to do is just because you're married doesn't mean you don't have to have new friends. You can still you guys both come to a meet new friend group. It's important, I think, to keep that fresh and keep that your relationship expanding together, even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's important as well, not just the singles meeting and the speed dating, which was also our main thing, which I think is great, but yeah.
But I think, we're seeing, a lot of people might be nervous to try it and stuff, but, you know, they say that life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. You have
yeah.
to step out. You've got to take that leap, you
yeah.
know? And you can't soar and fly until you've jumped, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Gotta take the risk and find the chance at finding love. You know, that's what makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, there's people have like the ups and the downs. And then, you know, I had, remember, Alex came and he was so scared to get back out there. Well, I don't know. I don't think he wanted to admit he was scared, but I feel like you could tell he was nervous because he kind of was guarded because he had had his heart broken. His ex cheated on him.
Oh, wait, and which one's Alex?
I don't want our listeners to figure it out.
Oh, it's not. Is that a real name?
See him at,
okay,
he
no.
Might see him
no, you're right. Okay, I'm just trying to picture my head. Okay, I'm here. I'm here for it. I'll hear it like I never heard it before because I don't remember it. Okay,
but keep going. I mean, you know, it's like he is getting back out there. It's scary. They're like, oh, what if I get hurt again?
Yeah.
You know? But like, I think in life, getting deep again. You can't appreciate the highs unless you've been through the lows. And it's everything we go through. It's like even though you take those past failed relationships and you learn from them and you grow as an individual, and you take that into the next relationship, hopefully not with negative guards and walls put up. And, but I mean, some people, you get tainted. But you just do your best to learn and be better. That's how as humans, we're always evolving and growing and trying to just be a better version of ourselves. You know, you everything happens for a reason. I'm a big believer in that.
Same. But you also have to have somebody create a space for you to go out and do that. And being able to have that space for people who are willing to go out of their way to try to find love, you know?
Right, but like in today's society, where is that space? Because I've never met anyone in a grocery store. I don't care what they say.
I know, that's so silly. People they don't say even that, look don't at they? You
in the grocery store. No one makes eye contact. No. Everyone is in their own bubbles. And hustle after COVID, and people wore masks. They don't even, I mean, you if approach you, someone and say, hi, I like your sweater. You they look at you. Like, why are you talking to me?
During COVID, you could have gotten arrested for that. but no, you're right. It's like, it's like,
where do you meet people?
Even just, how you and I have been going on foot and going to different establishments and introducing ourselves. People are like, what do you want? Like, you don't want a haircut. What do you mean? You don't want a haircut. Like, you don't want to, you don't want to talk to me about being friendly.
Why?
Like,
why do you want to talk to me?
Let's like, yeah, let's break the barrier. Like, let's,
I know. It's like people don't talk to each other anymore.
No, but they, and everybody, oh, I'm in on this too, but everybody get a good chiropractor because we're all going to have our necks stuck downward.
Staring at our phones.
Like, everybody just look up for a little bit because seriously though, like Tinder and think about all the time that you spend on those apps, dating apps, and like finding catfish and not real people and then like shuffling. You could be swiping past the freaking love of your life and not even know it because they have a bad photo or they're not good at the internet.
Well, and it's, you're so accustomed in those apps to swipe. It's just like a continual on to the next. What else is there? What's better? You're not looking at people as people and getting to know them. You're just making a judgment instantly without giving them a fair chance, you know?
Yes, it's just, it's a really gross concept for me. I am so old school. Like I said, see, Laura can see, I have a typewriter over there. Like, I'm stuck in the old ways. Yeah. I can't do the apps and stuff while I'm married. But when
it's
I was
hard
single,
in public to meet people.
It is, you know? That too. Well, and
so
I do
that's
blame.
Why I think it started. But what makes it so hard is like, I mean, you start a conversation with someone. And for me, I'm busy. Like, I work a lot. I've got family things going on.
Right.
I've got, you know, stuff comes up and life errands to run, you know?
Yeah.
And having the time to do these slow conversations with people. And it's like the world's slowest ping pong ball. Just, hey, how was your day? The next day. Oh, sorry, didn't get your message. Like, I can't. I cannot stay in that conversation. It's so not funny. Engaging to me. It is not interesting. Like,
no.
And then they all do that. And then just last night, actually, because I still got one going just kind of in the background. And the other night I was bored. I'm like, all right, let's see what's going on here. And I hate it. You know, I should just delete it, honestly. I think I'm going to. But this guy was like, actually, he asked what I do for work, and I told him. And he's like, oh, just judgmental and angry from the jump. So this is just advertising your business? And I'm like, no, I'm a real freaking person, and looking I'm trying to meet people, and I'm looking to connect the community. And yeah, I'm a multitasker. Sorry, like,
yeah.
I'm seeing this as an opportunity of something fun I want to get into and do. It helps other people. I love helping other people.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't I want to help myself at the same time? And you're gonna fault me for that?
Yeah.
And because I'm a busy person, and I'm like, yeah, I've started these events because it's a good way to meet people, more than one person.
Yeah, but there
and
is...
And talk to more than one
is,
person.
But, and there is a really cool part about this is that it's a really great way for you to sift out all the people who won't support you.
Yeah, well,
you know,
true.
Like, because you'll want a man to be like, hold on, this is your business, you're single, you're reaching out, you're doing this.
Well, I don't know why it would be a problem, you know, why wouldn't you? If you meet me and you hear I do this and you have an interest in me, why wouldn't you want to come support me in my business and have a chance to meet me or talk to me more in person and
right.
and see, you know?
Like, right.
And you have a chance of talking to other people, too. Like, we're not in a committed relationship yet. I'm not going to fault you for talking to other people. Like,
yeah.
I just want people to find love. It doesn't matter if it's with me, necessarily.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was, like, judgmental off the bat. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I'm like, why am I having to defend myself to someone right. I just started talking to?
And you're talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're the one talking. Like,
and he,
you're
and
initiating.
He's,
you're not,
like,
you're
talked
being
a little
proactive.
Bit.
Yeah.
And then he asked if, he's like, oh, well, I'd like to talk to you, whatever. Ask for my number. I don't know why I actually gave it out, because they always want your number so soon to move off the platform. But then it's like, if you do that with everyone, then all these people will be texting you, and there's definitely not time to manage
right.
all of those conversations.
Right.
Like I said, busy, already busy. He texts me yesterday, we started talking, and he said, like, hey, this is so-and-so from the app. And I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then he told me he was working or something. I was also working.
Yeah.
Run around, you know, and with my schedule, I work, and then I have other stuff I gotta do for family life, and then back to getting some more work done.
Yeah.
And it was 10 o'clock last night, and I hadn't responded to his message about him working. And he goes, good talk. Mad at me.
I just am thinking of the toes.
No, and then he was mad at me because...
You didn't want to talk when he wanted to.
Because I wasn't available. I'm like, if you need someone and you're that needy that you need someone up your ass all the time giving you attention, I'm the wrong person for
yeah,
you.
That's
I mean,
so
if that's
toxic.
What you look for, great. Yeah. But we started talking today and you're mad that I didn't get back to you soon enough. And I'm like, I'm still working. I'm busy. Sorry. I'm like, I have a busy life. I'm an ambitious person with goals and aspirations.
Yeah.
And I'm a hard worker. I'm like, I'm working still.
Yeah.
And you're going to get mad. We said, you just text me for the first time. This is like their third text. And I'm like, how many red flags can you show me in a snapshot? So that's definitely not going anywhere. And he's so defensive. It's like he's just looking for, he's jaded. You can tell. And he's bringing his past.
We need to do a red flags episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people...
And green flags.
Ooh, green flags. Yes, a green flags episode. Ooh, I like that one. Positivity. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Facebook group about green flags, right? It's like a whole group. I think I joined it for green flags. You put like their photo and like a name and like... about them, you're like, this is my friend, or like, I went on a date with this guy, had a ton of green flags, but didn't work out because I have kids, or something like that.
Oh.
And so you green flag other people.
You know, I think I saw that group,
other men.
But it just, from what I saw, a lot of the group was just like, women being like, has anyone seen this man before? Is anyone out there dating my husband?
Are you serious?
That was the vibe I got from
that
page.
Oh, maybe there was a post I didn't see. Whoa.
Where it's like, or it's women Juicy. Who met a new man and then they want to find out the dirt. Anyone out there that knows anything about this guy? Should I be scared of him?
Ooh.
These
support,
are the things women
support,
do to try to...
But that's interesting because like if you really don't... If you have the red flags or you have some suspicion... I think that's enough to call it. Well, maybe not. Maybe you really like them. I don't know.
It's hard. It's hard when you're getting back out there, because you're like, they tell you when you grow up, like, don't talk to strangers, right?
Yeah.
But everyone you don't know is a stranger.
Yeah.
When you try and find a new, and then it's like, how long do you have to know someone, do you think? That's a question.
Yeah.
Before you really know them.
Do you ever really, a stranger?
Do you ever really know anyone all the way? You know, how fully do you know someone?
I know, it's true. It's true. You never do. My sister even tells me, or I don't know if people who are married tell you that, like, they have been with their person for years and years, like 10, 15 years, and they're still learning stuff about them.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like all of a sudden they don't even know them. Like,
well, because people are always growing and changing, and sometimes mm-hmm. you grow together, but other times you grow apart.
Yeah.
We're just playing.